This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend more time on rides and less time in line enjoying Walt Disney World.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 222 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to do something kind of special. Before we do that, I want to let you know who's on the show. First off, we have Lisa. Hey Lisa, how's it going?
How you doing tonight, Ed?
I'm doing pretty good. And we also have Jimmy. Hey Jimmy, how's it going?
Hello. How are you?
Good. Good, good, good. So, Disney nerds, how you guys been?
Carl's combo.
That is not an answer to any question.
I know, but you always tell me I fit Carl's combo into every show, and I was thinking about this one, and there was probably no way to make it fit, so I just threw it in at the beginning.
That's how you made that work?
Yes.
There you go. We've had actually a great Facebook thread going as far as your favorite drinks around World Showcase. I've been getting a lot of good things to put down on my list for my next trip.
Are you going to be lit?
Isn't that the idea?
Get to Canada, get to the UK, not remember the bridge over to France.
Yeah, you might. Just those two pavilions have enough good drinks that, yeah, you might not make it over the bridge.
True. Between the whiskey and the beer and stuff like that, definitely.
McAllen flight.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, anyway, let's get on to the show. Tonight, what we're going to do is, you know, we were thinking back on all the rides and attractions at Walt Disney World that we really miss that aren't there anymore. So we decided tonight what we're going to do are three of the rides we really, really, really miss or attractions from Walt Disney World. And then if we have time, you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw out one of those we really don't miss at all. So we did a little homework on this one, and we got our lists together. And what do you think, guys? You ready for this one?
You know, you brought up the group earlier, but we had a similar conversation in the group about this subject too, in the group and on the Facebook page with a lot of great answers.
Oh, definitely. Now, what we're going to do is – we're going to talk about the help we got on the group pages, because we got probably about 30, 40 responses on our podcast page and our group page. So we're definitely going to go over and we're going to say everybody's name and what their favorite long lost ride is.
Give everybody a little shout out who participated.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Always fun to hear your name on the podcast. So here's what we're going to do. We'll start out and we'll take turns, and we're kind of going to go, I guess, in least missed to most missed as best we can. When you hear my missed ones, you're going to see my categories don't kind of match up for that. But I think definitely Jimmy's and Lisa's will. So we're going to try to do it that way somewhat. And we'll try to give somewhat of a description. We don't want to go all night tonight. We don't want to go too long. But I think we kind of give you an idea. And I'm sure we're going to bring up some of these attractions that you guys know so much about that we probably won't even have to go into too much detail. Okay, who wants to start? Flip a coin, cut cards.
Jimmy, take the helm.
So my first one is something that was over at Animal Kingdom, and I think the technical name, and you guys may be able to help me out with this, it was the Pocahontas show that was backed by Camp Minnie Mickey, and I think it was Pocahontas and Her Forest Friends or something like that.
Oh, exactly. It totally was that.
That was a great little show. Very, very cool. All the kids could go up after the show and meet Pocahontas. They had a really good animatronic that was Mother Willow. The tree would come to life. And it involved all these little animals.
Right. It was like a little animal show, almost like the bird show they have over there, too.
Yeah, which is no longer there.
Exactly. Right. Speaking of. And kind of coincidentally, as I'm putting together some soundtracks for our new radio show that's going to start in a couple weeks, we're going to try for part two. I was just doing Animal Kingdom stuff, and I was just listening to Pocahontas soundtrack. It's a pretty good show.
That was a really good show. I enjoyed that, especially when the kids were younger.
You know, sure. Plus, they tie it into the movie. That's always the bonus.
Yep, I agree.
It is the bonus. And, you know, Animal Kingdom was not something that I, or at least not in a park that I went to all that often until just a couple of years ago. So that wasn't even something I had experienced.
Oh, that's a shame. But you know what? The wonder of YouTube, you can almost experience it. Okay, so that was a good one. Lisa, you take a shot now. What do you really miss that's gone from the Walt Disney World parks?
You know, I'm going to throw this out there. I miss Cranium Command.
Nice one. Good one.
So that, I mean, that really brings me back to probably my very first trip to Walt Disney World. And, you know, Body Wars was great, but Cranium Command was something that you really, I was 8 years old. It was something you really kind of connected with. It was such an entertaining show. I think Bobcat Goldthwait was in it. They were just so funny about, you know, this kid and how this kid got through his day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was pretty cool because it was so stereotypical of the characters they had into it that if you were alive during that time of TV, then you pretty much were entertained. You had guys from Cheers, Saturday Night Live, who else was in there? There was just a lot of great characters. Hans and Franz.
That's right. Kevin Nealon. And yep, you're absolutely right.
I think Norm from Cheers, wasn't he the stomach?
Yep.
Yeah, so it was really, really kind of cool. And those faces stuck out because you've seen them all the time. And the message was cool. You know, the way they portrayed that, I thought was really good through that kid's eyes.
I unfortunately just don't remember it. I mean, I remember it very, very vaguely, but I don't remember enough of it to really give any commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those, it was, you sat in a theater and you looked at these, I think I remember it starting like the curtain opening and you were looking out big eyeballs.
Right.
Literally in the brain of this child.
But there was a really cool pre-show behind it because you're really inside the brain of a child. So you're playing this pilot who's actually a novice pilot, a newbie. So he's portrayed almost as a kid also, but he's got the pilot leather jacket and the goggles, and he sits in the chair in front of us in the audience as we're looking through the eyes of the kid. So it's like the little boys, or the little character sitting inside the brain, and he's reporting to, was it General somebody or Sergeant somebody, who is all, of course, making him nervous on his first, you know, day on the job of running a teenager. That's what the job they had is running a teenager. Right. Really, really cool. Really fun show. And again, YouTube is your friend. I'm sure we can find that out there sometime too. Be able to check it out. And it's one of those, and you know what, Lisa, I'm going to piggyback on this because I was going to actually say the Wonders of Life Pavilion was something that's gone that I really, really miss. Because even though the building is still there, there is really nothing left of it. Cranium Command, of course, being one of them. Body Wars, you mentioned, was another incredible ride in, for those that don't remember it, a Star Tours car. The same car they used at Star Tours, they used in Body Wars.
You remember?
I'm sorry?
I do remember that one.
Right. You had the guy Otter from Animal House was your host. So you had a star personality in there. And it was the same thing where you had the TV from the Star Tours on the right side telling you what's going on. And then the front opened up so you could see where you were going. And you're basically going through the body. Did you ever see the old movie Fantastic Voyage?
Yeah.
Where they shrunk down the little submarine and put him inside some dude's head to try to like solve some like murder mystery or whatever. Or...
I had not seen that, but it reminded me more of Inner Space.
Inner Space, yeah, with Martin Short.
Sure.
Yep.
Yep. Definitely. That was the more current version of it, definitely. So I love that one. The Making of Me was a pretty cool movie that I'd only seen once, and it was I don't remember a lot of it, but it was definitely pretty well done. And it was in that one theater at the Food and Wine where they went inside and they showed you how to make the wine one year. Another year, the movie they ran inside there was how they put the whole food and wine together. So that's what they were using it for. I'm sorry?
Me and you did that once together. We went and sat in there and kind of watched for a little while.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's a nice little theater.
How they put it together, how all the stuff that goes into them, putting the festival. And just another cool thing about Cranium Command was directed by Jerry Reese.
Excellent. Yeah, very cool. Now, the one other thing from the Wonders of Light Pavilion I remember was they had an outdoor exhibit. I mean, let me rephrase that. Inside the pavilion itself, there was areas where you could sit down toward the center and view a wall or a screen. And it was kind of open to everybody walking around, but you could basically pay attention and see what's going on. They had a show about Goofy and safety, I think. Where he would be doing kind of those awkward things because they always have those goofy how-to movies, how to drive, how to play golf, how to play football, how to surf. And this was, I think, about fire safety, perhaps. But I really do miss that Wonders of Light Pavilion. I thought that was one of the best ideas they had, the body, the human body, as far as staying healthy and stuff. And it was a shame that once the sponsor bagged it, they let the whole idea go away.
Right. And just to double back on what Jimmy had said, I had read somewhere that the one of the people that was part of the production process for the pre-show to Cranium Command was also part of the process and production process for Inside Out, which once you piece that together, it absolutely makes sense.
Makes complete sense, right?
Sure. Oh, definitely. Because there was part of that that was emotional as well as physical. Very cool.
Another just little interesting tidbit that I just, and I don't know if this is true, but I'm getting it from Wikipedia, but Body Wars directed by Leonard Nimoy.
Really?
Really?
How about that?
Wow. I'm going to have to look into that a little bit more.
I was really looking it up just to see if maybe Jerry Reese actually did one of those as well. But then I got to that. I'm like, Leonard Nimoy. I had to click the name to make sure it wasn't a different Leonard Nimoy.
That is pretty interesting.
That's what it says. So.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, we got through that first round pretty quickly. And since I piggybacked on Lisa's, I think, Lisa, why don't you just go one more time then? Do your second one if you have one.
I do. My second one is something that I only experienced once, and it was the first trip to Walt Disney World. And from what I recall, and I don't have the closing date on it, I can certainly look it up, but the Skyway between Fantasyland and Tomorrowland.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. And I totally understand why it's gone, but that's a great one.
Right.
I've been on it a couple different times, a couple different trips before they took it down. When you were on it, what do you remember?
I remember the view over the Tomorrowland Speedway.
Okay.
I don't know why that sat with me, but for some reason that part sat with me. And I remember my father would probably be able to better explain. I was not very fleet of foot as a child, but something tells me that I face planted getting off of the attraction in Fantasyland.
Oh no.
So I still walk by where the where the tangled bathrooms are, which of course is pretty much where that let off was for that. That's where the station was in Fantasyland. And right. I always get this weird tingy feeling like, God, I remember being over there and I remember something happening. I should probably get with my father. It's not a far fetch for me to think that I probably wiped out getting off that attraction.
Oh, you know, one of the things I kept thinking when they kept announcing the gondolas coming to Disney World, as far as transportation, was that kind of thing, because people getting on and off of the Skyway sometimes became very, very difficult, almost like ski lifts at a ski resort where you just have one person not knowing how to time it right. And then it's a disaster and it's a stop down, you know, you have to wait and everybody kind of gets everything organized. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. Now, the other part of that, it's Lisa mentioned how it's the tangled bathrooms in Fantasyland. And just in case you didn't know, the bathrooms, which is really odd how these became both bathrooms, the bathrooms over in Tomorrowland to the right of Space Mountain as you're walking towards Space Mountain was the other side of the Skyway.
Right above it. Huh?
Yeah. Correct. So now it was cool. The I remember the views from it being the top of the buildings, which were pretty grody because it was tough to keep the buildings clean. And looking down into 20,000 leagues, I thought that was pretty cool because you could see down under the water really well. We actually have video of it. We were on our honeymoon with the pink birthday cake castle. So I've got video of us on the Skyway. I think the 20,000 leagues was closed at that point, but the water was still in it. And so it's pretty cool. I'll try to find a link. Maybe we'll put that one in the show notes.
I think one of the cool things about that attraction was the fact that it turned.
It turned and came back. I think you had to get off, though. I don't think you could stay on.
No, it turned halfway through.
Point. Yeah, halfway through, because it ran kind of towards Space Mountain. Then when it got in line with Fantasyland, it made a turn and then turned.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And it, right. Lisa, it closed November 10th, 1999.
I thought it would have been longer than that, but yeah, I guess.
And I thought it would have been sooner than that because then technically speaking, I had probably been there several times. I had been there at least two or three times after my original trip, but I don't recall riding it at all.
Except well, your face for my first getting off of it. You probably never wanted to ride it again.
Subconsciously.
Fair enough.
Very cool. Yeah, no, I definitely missed that. Again, hurricane wind-wise and all that, I totally get it. People being idiots and throwing stuff from above, I totally get that. But it was a great different view of the park, and it was a nice little rest. It was like a people mover of the sky.
Interesting how that's come in full circle. And now instead of a skyway, we're going to have a skyline.
True, and the gondolas, and it's going to be interesting how they handle it all. I'm still curious about the whole air conditioning thing. That's going to be the next big question.
AC bothers me.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It might be bad. I don't remember Skyway being oppressive ever.
Fine. It may be fine. It's just in my head, it's going to be hot.
You mean you didn't know that like 50 feet off the ground in Florida, it's like 20 degrees cooler?
Right. Right. I mean, with that being said, you know, you ride the TTA during the summer and it's moving. So you get a little breeze. So it's not miserable.
Right. No, I agree. I agree. Okay, Jimmy, give us another one. What do you really miss from the parks?
Alien encounter.
There you go. The alien extraterrestrial.
Extraterrestrial alien encounter.
Yeah, I saw the name the other day, and I never actually recognized the word terror being in there.
Yeah,
I just always said it
like terrestrial.
Right, right, right. So cool.
Jerry Reese directed that one too.
I see a trend here.
Right.
I didn't know that one. Excellent. I mean, I knew that one going in. I didn't remember the other one going in.
Right.
But that one earlier. That attraction was so darn scary.
Have we all been on it?
Yes.
Lisa? Okay, yes. Yeah. I agree. That's the one attraction that I had the fun of being able to scream my ass off without reservation because it was in the dark.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it was scary enough to do it when the guy starts bouncing around on your shoulders and stuff like that.
Oh, he breathes on your neck. Me and Lisa were talking about that. Then you hear him bite like somebody and you feel the wetness come across.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, it
I
was
hated
serious.
It. Hated it.
You hear bones crunching? Oh, God, it was intense.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, did either of you guys remember Mission to Mars or not? I forget what it was. Mission to the Moon or the ride that was there before that?
I think it was originally Mission to the Moon. And then by the time they got it in there, the Mission to the Moon had already happened. So
right. So they had to go a little futuristic.
Mission to Mars.
Yeah. Right.
Which was pretty cool. Did you guys ever do any of those two?
No.
Not that I recall.
Think of the ride where the alien shows up in the center, where Stitch shows up, or the extraterrestrial. So forget all that in the center there. Put screens there so you're all leaning back in your chairs watching the blast off and landings through the screens as the room shakes and you're being told what's going on and stuff like that. It was okay. I thought the extraterrestrial was really good, too. That was a true thrill ride. The first, it was like when Disney started making PG movies. It was like the next step.
Yeah, that was me. So. That's definitely one of mine. I missed that one.
Yeah, well, cool. Very cool. And that'll never come back. I'm not even sure what they're going to do with that building. They can't make it a complete meet and greet from now on. That's ridiculous.
Lisa thinks they will, but I don't think they will.
I think it might have something to do with either the Tron update or maybe something else going on over there. Perhaps.
Mission to Mars closed in 1992. You know, I probably did go on that when I was a kid. I don't really remember it.
Right, right. There's actually a couple rides in Tomorrowland that kind of run together a little bit between the Eastern ride on the other side, the flight, and then the Timekeeper. So there's a couple good ones.
The Eastern ride became Delta Dreamflight, didn't it?
I think. Now, did it start out as Eastern?
I don't remember.
I could be wrong about that. It might have been Delta from the beginning, but I could have swore Eastern was like the airline of Disney, and that's why they had it. But
it certainly was. But I think Delta may have just sponsored it.
Paid the money. Yeah. Okay. But let's not step on those because that's not any of ours.
Right.
On our lists today. So for my next one, I want to take something that really hasn't closed that long ago, and it's the Backlot Tour. And I think that was a pretty incredible thing to do, considering that used to be a 45-minute ride or exhibit or walkthrough or whatever it started out as, and it became a lot of different things over the past couple years until it finally closed. Do you guys remember doing the ride through the neighborhood?
Yes.
With the Golden Girls house?
Yeah, I was just thinking the long tour used to be great with all those house fronts.
Yep. Right.
And that's where they originally had the Osborne Spectacle Lights, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was on Residential
Street. And I regret I've never been able to be there for that. But this is when they also had the air, when you went inside the buildings, you had the buildings where they were doing the seamstress things, and well, I guess maybe it wasn't there, but you had the seamstress shop for all of Hollywood Studios, and it was a live seamstress shop, which was pretty cool, costuming and things like that.
That rode through it. The Backlot Tour rode through it, and then I think it dropped you off into the Art of Animation, and that's where you could walk by and you could see the animators like drawing.
Oh, right. We were seeing them draw Lion King when we went through there.
Pocahontas. Had a picture of Mel Gibson up and on top of the easel, and you know they always try and model the character to look somewhat like whoever's.
Okay, let's make him not look anything like this guy right here. Okay, stay away from that.
Well, that was before he went all cuckoo.
Well, but he didn't. He really doesn't look like Mel Gibson. He sounds just like him, though. How about that?
A general kind of look. I don't know.
Sure.
And just to go back to Tomorrowland for 2 seconds, mm-hmm. The Easter airline attraction was If You Had Wings.
Eastern, so they did have one there.
If You Had Wings was the attraction.
Right.
All right.
Cool.
Back to Hollywood Studios, Lightspeed.
Yeah, so, and the Backlot Tour had that really cool beginning where you had that live flyby by a Japanese fighter with your PT boat, and you had the prop room that was basically every couple of years you'd have new props brought into it and distributed, and you'd be able to look for that.
That room almost wanted to wait till the next group. Like, you wanted to just hang out in there and look at the props.
Right, yep.
And almost wait for the next group to get there because, you know, you never really had time to really hang out in there and look as much as you wanted to.
And that's what I was always with friends. that just wanted to keep going and going and going. And the same thing goes for that, for the stunt scene, is that if you waited until the next tour, you could have asked to be part of that stunt scene. You just had to wait it out until the next tour.
Nice.
I didn't realize it was that easy.
Jeez. Oh, it was that easy.
At the very end for that whole waiting area before that show in the beginning, they had Pearl Harbor special effect models and things like that. It was pretty cool. Some of the other things they have on the back lot were the canyon ride, with the part of that which was just basically phenomenal. We had an earthquake in the movie set, and you'd have the water and the fire and the
big tanker truck slid towards you.
Yep,
and
then
catch and blow up.
Oh yeah, you get wet, you feel the heat, and then finally the director would say cut, and you'd move on.
Catastrophe Canyon.
Moved back into place.
Exactly right, Catastrophe Canyon. And everything starts setting up on your way out, and then you do the ride around behind it, and you see exactly what it was. It was all propped up, a lot of steel, a lot of pipes, a lot of conduit.
Yep.
Phenomenal how they do that. And then the Boneyard, where you saw all the vehicles from all these great movies.
Herbie.
Yeah, the Love Bug was there.
He had an alien, one of the spaceships from Alien, I believe.
Walt's plane,
yep.
Right. That was classic.
They had the Flight of the Navigator spaceship.
Nice.
Cool. I have actually, I'm finishing up a blog post that over at One Man's Dream, they had it set up where they had Walt's office in there. And they had a board that showed all pictures from inside Walt's plane. They had 5 or 6 pictures that showed what it looked like inside there and how like kind of nice and luxurious it was. So I put some of those together and talked about them a little bit. So hopefully I'll get that out there this week. Okay. So let's, I think we can go around one more time. Who wants to try one more?
Boy, I'd have to think pretty hard. I mean, I've got a couple that don't necessarily fall on the attraction spectrum.
Well, neither do I. My last one's not an attraction. It's not in any of the parks. So that was fine. Do whatever you'd like.
Then I will throw out there that while I don't miss the whole entire area, I will tell you, I hopelessly, hopelessly miss the Adventurers Club.
Oh yeah. You totally got, I'm going to piggyback on you again here with this one. Mine was going to be Pleasure Island itself, because I really missed the idea of being able to go to somewhere that was first for adults. And second, had just so many different things you could do within really, really quick walking distance, the way those bars were set up. But the Adventurers Club was the best of them all.
Oh, it was amazing. I can still sing the song in my head. I can still do the handshake in my head. There was there was so much that was going on from the mask room to the main room to the library that I could have sat in there all night. And nights I had.
And definitely you can, and I have too. And you're right as far as the entertainment, because you could just sit in the main bar, and then every probably about 15 minutes, there's another announcement that another room was starting to load up for the next show. Have you ever been into the room with the heads on the wall?
Yep, absolutely.
Which was a pretty awesome show.
That was fabulous. That was absolutely fabulous. I loved Hathaway. I loved,
And then they did the radio show.
Yep.
In the main room.
In the main room.
Where they're raising money for the Adventurers Club.
And then the big hoopla at the end of the night.
Right. And then there was another room on the other side of where the mask room was, or where the heads on the wall room was, where they had the guy's head was in the box, the Indian guru, where the maid usually did that show. And in the main lobby, what was cool is they had the Colonel. If anybody knows me on Facebook, my avatar on Facebook for the past 15 years, or it's been a year since I've been on Facebook, I don't know how long it's been, is the Colonel. Where he's one of the main, and he's basically a puppet that they have who different actors do the voice for. But he leads a lot of the songs and the cheers in the main lobby as you're waiting to go into the different shows.
I had never got to see that, but he looks like the guy that chasing Robin Williams around in Jumanji.
Oh yeah, good. Yep, exactly. The British guy.
It's very similar to that.
Every time I see your avatar, though, in my head, I think, prump, ba-da-da-dun, da-da-da-dun, dun-dun-dun.
Love to go swim with a bow-legged woman and swim between their legs.
So that is, to me, and you know, because it was one of the very few venues on the island, one of the very few venues on Pleasure Island that was 18 plus, not 21 plus.
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't remember, Pleasure Island was basically that, Pleasure Island. And I guess they might have kind of modeled it a little after Pinocchio with the Lost Boys over there, or whatever they called the guys who end up becoming donkeys, which you never got to that point. But there was New Year's Eve every night at Pleasure Island. So at midnight, fireworks would shoot off and everybody would celebrate New Year's Eve. They had a comedy club, country western club, a beach bar, a 70s bar, a disco bar, the Adventurers Club, which we talked about. And then they had the Firecracker Factory, which was a big restaurant that was multi-leveled and was kind of open. It was pretty cool. And they all had their stories. The Firecracker Factory was just that had basically blown up. So it was now the restaurant. But it was a really cool place because you have a couple drinks in the 70s place. And then you kind of cruise out. You go over to the Country Western Bar for a couple drinks or shots at tequila or something. Listen to a couple songs and you move on. Really, really fun time to finish the night off of a great day at the parks.
Yep.
I don't get that feeling from Disney Springs really at all. I mean, no, there's plenty of things to do over there, but it's like a big mall without a roof.
Well, even the places to drink are not. I don't know how to explain it, but they're more kind of kick back and have a drink, not party and dance type places.
Right, which is kind of geared toward in and out. And there's like maybe one or two places maybe that are geared toward that, but not that many at all.
I mean, really, there's not in Springs. I mean, for that type of atmosphere, you really have to go to the boardwalk to either Jelly Rolls or Atlantic Dance Hall.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Pleasure Island used to be a pay one price thing to get into it. You pay like $15 and then of course you pay for your drinks. But then became part of the main thing when you stayed at a hotel to be able to go there free.
Yep. It became part of the package, like the Magic mm-hmm. Your Way package.
Yep.
Right. I was able to get to the Adventurers Club a couple weeks before it closed that September. So I had a lot of good videos from that I have on my YouTube page. I'll try to get over to the some links on our show notes for that too. It's just amazing. And you know what? They split up a lot of the stuff from the Adventurers Club all over some of the stores at Disney Springs. And I want to say somewhere in the park got a lot of this stuff.
You can see things in, believe it or not, the Skipper Canteen has stuff.
Right. That Star Wars store they had, the first Star Wars store they had, where they had a bunch of different things in there. Up on the rafters part, you looked around, it was a lot of the different artifacts from the Adventurers Club, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those out to me.
Oh, right. Yep, exactly. Which is cool. You never know where you're going to find it. Oh, I remember. And the Adventurers Club really stood out to me is because Leslie and I really knew nothing about it, and we discovered it on our own. So we literally walked into this next bar, not knowing what it was about. The butler met us, asked us our names. He walked over to the overhang, which overlooks the lobby and the whole downstairs area. And he's like announcing Ed and Leslie. And we're like, yeah, we're here. And we walked downstairs. I was like, awesome way to start out.
That's fabulous. That was one of the things about that place, was that when you walked in, you were upstairs. You were just looking over at all that was going on. They had an upstairs bar and a downstairs bar.
Right. And it was an overactive museum. There was tons of stuff everywhere.
And it was almost all of it was animated.
Yes, correct. Things moved. I think I got to – we'll have to do a little research maybe and get some like – maybe a virtual Adventurers Club going with a bunch of the stuff that was there video-wise. We'll have to see. Okay, guys. Well, I tell you what, those are some of the attractions areas, rides that we miss from Walt Disney World, things that are closed and are never coming back and were really, really that good. And really, it's only kind of the top of the iceberg there. There's so many other things that we could talk about. And what we want to do now is we had some help from our friends on our Facebook pages. We reached out earlier to the people on our podcast Facebook page and our group Facebook page asking them, what do you guys really miss from Walt Disney World? What's gone that really sticks out to you, that really kind of, you know, pulls those heartstrings? And we got some great responses.
So I'll start out with one from the group. Carrie Hirsch says, Mr. Toad Wild Ride.
Oh, that's a fabulous one. Absolutely. And Jennifer, bear with me. I might butcher some names here tonight. Jennifer Plurd said the Backlot Studio Tour, the way it used to be, the original house facades.
There you go.
Joe Diebold, the Winnie the Pooh Playful Spot.
Oh, you know, that reminds me of my niece. There. Yeah, it reminds me of my niece when she was little. I can feel that totally, Joe.
He just had his first baby, and he said, when I asked him about that, he said, you know, that was before they knew they were going to have kids, so they enjoyed just going to sit over there and watching the kids play, which is great.
Jeff Kessler says Captain EO.
There you go. I thought it came back. I thought that was awesome.
That it did come back for a little while, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Katie Carthy, Skyway, one of the ones we covered.
There you go.
Another one for Skyway.
Here's one I thought we would cover, but I get a little disappointed by Ed. Glenn Kessler went old school, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
That's another one. That's from the next show. That is definitely another good one for me. But you know what? Riding in California kind of eased the pain a little bit, I think, for today.
Mike Mathy in the group said Disney Quest.
Oh, good one. And Lana Lou, a great friend of the live show, said the Great Movie Ride. She was heartbroken when it closed.
That one was that one almost made my list tonight. So, Mary Mazzell said the Mickey and Minnie houses. So it was on Toontown over in Magic Kingdom, which was that was a cool area.
Did you guys go through the houses?
Yes.
Oh, many times.
Right, right. I still think that Minnie's oven, where the thing, the cake actually raised and stuff like that, was ingenious.
Yeah.
Keep on going. Sorry.
And then Dawn Ray says the Hunchback stage show, which is not something I had ever experienced.
Oh, the horse coming out at the beginning from the toy horse to be the real full size puppet horse. Amazing.
My cousin Michelle, we were talking about how much, because she got to ride Flight of Passage when they were down with us in November, and she said prior to that, like, the Hunchback stage show was her favorite Disney attraction of all time.
There you go.
Andrew Simpson, Cranium Command.
Another one for that. Awesome.
And then Nancy Shaw is doing a little call out for Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, but the pre-show. For Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. She loved that Kodak True Colors.
Oh, I love that. That is, without a doubt, one of my favorite go-to songs on my phone. I've done a blog post about that. I've pushed that on other shows as closing numbers. That's just, it's a really, really great, great piece of music. Plus the audio, the video they put with that is just inspirational.
Nice. Brock Cordero, Journey into the Imagination. I'm assuming he means the original show.
Yeah, I imagine so. And then Brandy Shoreman Seacott says Mickey and Minnie's House. Again, another call out for Toontown. She also made a little mention. Oh, this is a great call out. Riding in the front of the monorail, which is my all-time favorite. That's a great call out, along with the Great Movie Ride and Backlot Tour.
Cool.
Steen Hawkins, another one for the Hunchback show.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And Cindy Harrison, Great Movie Ride. Another call out for the Great Movie Ride.
Zach Grant, Wishes and the Great Movie Ride.
And then Visha Ramprasad, After Jimmy's Heart here with Alien Encounter.
Love it. Jamie Begley, the Eastern Airline ride that became Delta Dream Flight.
Boom, there's our answer
It was If You Had Wings was the Eastern ride, then it became Delta Dream Flight, probably because I'm assuming Delta probably bought Eastern Airlines.
Yeah, I think they did.
And I feel so happy that my random thoughts actually were in order, and I'm not going senile. Boom, boom, boom. Moving on.
Let's not push it.
So, Jen Blanchard will miss the great movie ride, and so incredibly sad, she actually had not had a chance to see it.
Aw, that's a shame. But again, YouTube is your friend. Take advantage of that.
Bill Stogg, Maelstrom. Bill's another one who's a great friend on the from the live stream every week.
Yeah,
sure, because we were talking about that with our co-hosts in our on our message board on Facebook too. And Maelstrom came up actually, and that became part of a big discussion with the new Norway versus the old Norway and the reasons behind it and such like that. So yeah, that's a great pick for some of us.
Leah Lawson. Again, another vote for the Great Movie Ride. People are really missing the Great Movie Ride, and I think it's just because it's so fresh in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin and Dexler, Great Movie Ride.
How about Katie Brenneman misses the People Mover in Disneyland?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen it in Disneyland. Although, to be honest with you, and I think I said this a couple of shows ago, so apologize for repeating myself. In a way, I think their monorail is actually the People Mover.
Yeah, I think it is too. When I was there, that's kind of how it felt.
Right, compared to that, it's like a very limited you know, area it goes to, and it's not that, whatever.
Daniel Gill, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. He said, just full of imagination and still miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Offenberger, Tarzan Rocks. Along with Backlot Tour and the Great Movie Ride. But Tarzan Rocks is the first I've heard of that.
Vic Salagastoa, El Rio del Tempo.
Oh, fabulous.
Which was basically, It's a Small World, but just in Mexico. Am I wrong? I mean, it's basically the same exact style of doll. I think it was okay. I like it that they had with the three caballeros, though.
Oh, no, definitely stepped up that ride, for sure. Gave it a lot of life.
Right. Ben Barker with a Maelstrom vote.
Mm-hmm.
Scott McLaren, the stunt show at the back lot. I'm assuming he means lights, motors, action.
Right. Now, Joe gave us a big vote for that one, too.
You know, I never got a chance to experience that.
Really?
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed watching it, but it was one of those things I felt like after you saw it, you kind of saw it.
Once every 2 years was our kind of way to do it.
Once every 2 years. It certainly wasn't something you had to do every year.
Correct.
Nina Borgia threw a vote in for something that I was almost on my list, but Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, along with 20,000 Leagues, and again, the Great Movie Ride.
Mm-hmm. Right, Mr. Toad's, that was an odd one. That was definitely one that I miss, and it was really, really geared to the story from the movie. People don't realize that. It wasn't just a ride.
Yep. Caitlin Kingsley, Toontown at Magic Kingdom. Loved that as a kid. Was disappointed. It was gone by the time we went back. Loved all the little details of it. It was a great character spot.
Scott Kraft, A Man After My Own Heart. The Adventurers Club. Kungaloosh.
Kungaloosh.
Bay Lowry. Great Movie Ride. Backlot Tour.
And Deirdre Kelly with Lights, Motors, Action, Stunt Show.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Ginnan. The Honey, I Shrunk the Kids Playground. And she mentions that while, you know, some people may not understand how she could pick that because it's kind of just a play area, but she said she just had very overactive kid, a very overactive 2-year-old, and it was just a great place to let him run around and burn some energy.
That's
the place for it, definitely.
Yep.
Sam Smith with Backlot Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Lori Page Burt, Great Movie Ride.
And Chelsea Voigt with another vote for the Great Movie Ride.
Nicole Jarvis, Minnie and Mickey's House at WDW.
Laurie Stiers with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Kelly Becknell-Cagle, Spectromagic, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Ellie Encounter, Timekeeper, Skyway, and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
She misses it all.
She misses it all. That's Kim's best friend from high school.
It's delightful. She misses it all. Don't we all? I miss it all, too.
Me, too.
We've got Deborah Williamson, another vote for the Great Movie Ride.
Melanie DeLapp Roland says she never did 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, but she would have loved it.
Amy Carney, we're seeing a trend here. Great Movie Ride.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth Lindsay Haney, Tapestry of Nations.
Oh, fabulous.
Good one. That's good. A really good one.
Yep.
That's a really good one. I've got Tiffany Lindstrom with Backlot Tour.
Mackie Price, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
And Kayla Wilson with, the first time I've seen this one, Stitch's Great Escape.
Probably the last time you'll see that one. I didn't hate it, but and it definitely stirred some emotion in some people.
A lot of people weren't big friends of Alien, and they really dug Stitch because it was a little bit more family-friendly. The other thing about Extraterrestrial was the cry factor, because as soon as it got dark, man, it went crazy in there.
Yep, definitely.
Kids being taken on it.
Yep. Jessica Rohrer, and I'm surprised this is the first time we heard this, but Horizons.
Sure.
Oh, Horizons was a classic.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Angel Kessner with Backlot Tour.
G. Michael Broussard, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Very nice. I have Aaron Shoemaker, another Great Movie Ride.
Bradley Crawford, who's also a friend from our Tuesday Night Live show, says he got to ride 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea as a child, and he remembers fully buying into the reality that they were diving below the water. And he said it's one of his fondest memories from Disney as a child.
And that's why I hated that attraction.
Yeah, you really thought you were going under.
I really thought I was going to – my short life was flashing before my eyes. And a good great friend of the show, Renee Jones, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Al Garin, the Backlot Tour, the short-lived express transportation. He said, just notes that park hopping was much more efficient with the service.
I agree. As a person that experienced it, I miss that terribly. I have Kendall Boyles with another vote for a Great Movie Ride.
Vanessa Ackley, Lights, Motors, Action. She says she was thankful to see it 1 week before it closed.
And Susan Gordon with a Great Movie Ride. And just a quick shout out to the stunt show, which I imagine would be Lights, Motors, Action.
Angel Stiles, Mr. Toad.
And my last one on the page is from Hannah Hazelhurst, Great Movie Ride.
And I'll run through the rest of mine because I've still got a few left. So Joe Spady, do we really need to read his?
definitely.
Star Wars Weekends, Rebecca Gardner-Plains, Horizons, Cindy Thorpe-Benedict, was questioning if Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is gone. Yes, it is gone. Not at Disneyland, only at Disney World.
Yep, we wrote at Disneyland. Fun.
Jay Parkin, Star Wars Weekends. Heidi Love and Summer Thiel, Osborne Lights. That's a great one. I'm surprised we hadn't heard that. Robert Crossgreen, if you include Pleasure Island as part of Walt Disney World, it is clearly the Adventure Club no-brainer.
Yep.
Agreed.
Michelle Parnell says she wished Carousel of Progress was at Disneyland, the original place. Huge fan of Captain EO and was excited when it returned. Even got to see it in Japan before it was taken down.
Nice. Cool.
Karen McLeod, River Country, especially the White Water Tube Ride. Mary Gopner-Mazel, already going to miss the Great Movie Ride. And Karen Spady, Star Wars Weekend, says that nothing like walking up to the entrance with stormtroopers, keeping guard at the tops of the buildings. A lot of people visiting parks dressed up as characters from the movies. So many great costumes, great times. And then my last one is Taylor Haven, Great Movie Ride, Minnie and Mickey's Houses. I have a picture when I was 7 in Minnie's Kitchen in 2002 or something. Went back in 2013 and couldn't find it. Didn't know it got taken down. Those were really cool. I wouldn't take them back as a – I wouldn't give New Fantasyland back to have them back, though.
No.
No, I wouldn't either.
Sure. So I tell you what, that was pretty good. Thanks so much for your help, everybody out there. We'll be doing this again. So definitely watch the pages. You'll see the question out there. We'll post it. I tell you what, we got to do a show sometime down the road of attractions we don't miss. That could be interesting to see. I think it comes back to, well, if I don't miss it, then I'm probably not going to come up with it pretty easy because I've totally forgotten it.
There's a few on the list that other people said they missed. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't know that I would have gotten rid of it, but now that it's gone, it's not like I'm...
Well, sure, that's the thing. And the Great Movie Ride, well, it's going to depend on how the follow-up attraction is, depending on how much we're going to miss the Great Movie Ride. But, yeah, no, definitely a fun list to go through. Great memories to share. And, it was a fun night. Fun time. If you guys want to get in touch with the show, here's what you should do.
You can email us individually at Jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, Ed, Lisa, Sam, all at thedisneynerdspodcast.com. Or if you have a question that you'd like for us to read out on the air, you can email questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com. Make sure you like the page on Facebook, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Follow us on Instagram at the Disney Nerds Podcast, on Twitter at the Disney Nerds, and make sure to check out our website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com.
Check out the blog. We've got a lot of great articles that are going up almost every day.
Make sure to tune in every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, Walt Disney World time, for our live stream where you can ask questions and it's very interactive.
Very cool. We'll do that over on the Facebook podcast page. Okay, guys. Well, again, thanks so much for your help tonight. We had a really fun show. For Jimmy and Lisa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Waharini.
So long, everybody.
So much to see when you realize you can do anything if you only imagine. Close your eyes and soon you'll see there's a place deep inside you that can set you free.
True.